Some time ago, we began a series of great men of faith in the Bible. This morning, I'd like to continue that and speak on the man Job. Job chapter 1 will be just this chapter to get us started. We'll really be looking at the whole book, not in detail, but just sort of a scanning of it and seeing how Job was a man of patience, a man of faith. I've entitled the message, Job, Man of Patient Trust. Man of Patient Trust. Job chapter 1, begin reading in verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, it was probably on their birthdays it's talking about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. When you have 10 kids and they have a feast on their birthday, it's going to be quite often occurrence. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth now thine hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, this is happening one after another. They come in to make these reports. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Let's pray. Father, bless in our hearts today this message on the man Job. He was truly a great man. You said that yourself. Help us to learn from him. And Lord, make us people of patient trust, that we trust you even though we can't understand what's going on in our life. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for trials that we go through. Help us to respond correctly to those so that you might be glorified. Use this message today, Lord, to strengthen your people and make them more what you want them to be. And if there's one here today who has never yet accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that you'd speak to their heart and help them to realize that they're sinners. Their sin demands a punishment, a separation from God. But Jesus came and paid that punishment. He paid that price. He took what we deserve upon Himself on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood. He was buried and He rose again the third day. So that if we would believe that message, we could be saved. Lord, help that one who is without Christ today to come to belief today and trust You. We commit this time to You. Give enablement to bring the message and get glory for Yourself, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the greatest men of faith in the Bible is Job. He is known as a man of patience. In the book of James, we read these words in James 5, verse 11. It says, "Ye have heard of the patience of Job." And many of you have probably used that expression, the patience of Job. The book of Job is considered one of the oldest books in the Bible, probably written by Moses because it was handed down by tradition. And the accounts, like all that Job said, he probably wrote down himself and passed it on. But ancient tradition of the Jewish people say that they believe that Moses probably compiled the book and actually wrote the book down. We don't know for sure. But it records the story of the man Job, who lived most likely in the patriarchal age. And we think that because there's no mention of the law. There's no mention of the children of Israel. There's no mention of anything like that. And he lived to be about 200 years old. We find in the book they lived 140 years after all these events took place. And since he had 10 children when these events took place, he was probably in his 60s at least. And they were grown children by that time. So we can figure that he probably lived 200 years. That's about the age that men would live in the patriarchal time, like Abraham lived 185 years old. So we probably can put the story at that time. His story is a remarkable account which teaches us much about human suffering, but most of all about the greatness of God. As we look at Job this morning, we want to see how he was a man of great faith and who patiently trusted God in all kinds of circumstances. We're going to look at those different circumstances that he faced. Job's story is needed by all of us today. I'm sure you would agree. Because all of our lives are full of circumstances which try our faith and also our patience. And so I believe Job's story is something all of us need to hear. So let's think about Job this morning, a man of patient trust. As we look at Job, we're going to see several areas of his life in which he trusted the Lord patiently and waited on the Lord. First of all, Job trusted the Lord in prosperity. He trusted the Lord in prosperity. You see, when we read this account at the beginning, we find out that Job was a prosperous man. Prosperity in those days was determined by how much you owned as far as cattle and things like that. Of course, prosperity today is determined by how much you own, but usually we're talking about other things than what he's talking about, camels and donkeys and oxen and sheep and things like that. Tell us about how great he was by how much he owned. So he was a prosperous man, but while he was prospering, this isn't true of some people. Some people can't handle prosperity. But while he was prospering, he was known not just by people, but by God as an upright man, a man who feared God, a man who loved God, a man who did what was right. He was actually called by God a perfect man. That meant mature. He walked straight. He did what was right. He was a perfect and upright man. So during his prosperity, he trusted the Lord. God said that he did, so we know that he did. He was also prosperous in his family. He had 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. And so he was prosperous in that way. The Lord says, if you have your quiver full of them, children, you're a rich man. And so some people in that way are richer than others, but surely Job was a rich man in this way. He was very prosperous because he had this large family. He was also prosperous in not only his walk with God, but also he was prosperous in all the physical things he had. But in all that prosperity, he trusted God. It doesn't say that Job became prosperous, and during that time he trusted the Lord, and then when he became prosperous, his faith failed. Doesn't say that. He trusted the Lord in prosperity. All of us need to be able to do that. Maybe that's why God doesn't give some of us a lot of money, because he knows he couldn't trust us with it. I don't know, but it might be. But Job trusted the Lord in prosperity. Job also trusted the Lord in pain. He trusted the Lord in pain. Now, let me talk about some of his pain. Now, as we get into the pain of Job, I know we're going to skip the story right now of how this came about because of Satan's dealings with the Lord and all that. We'll explain that a little bit later. But let's just jump right into the pain of Job. First of all, he had the pain of losing his material wealth. Look at verse 13. And there came a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, the Sabaeans fell upon them, and they've taken them all, killed all of your servants. And he goes through all of this list, talks about all of his animals and all the servants that were taking care of them. And all of them are gone. I mean, all of them are gone. In a day, he gets this message, your wealth is gone. And he's suffering that pain, and yet in the midst of that, he said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And so during the suffering of the law, the pain of losing his possessions, he trusts the Lord. Can you do that? Could you do that? We were at camp the other day, and someone got a message while we were there, and I saw them crying. I might have told you this, I don't know. I saw them crying and found out that they had just received a message that their house was hit by a tornado. And they didn't know the extent of it. Talked to them later and they got another message that it wasn't quite so bad. But I noticed those people, they came there, I believe, to see their child, or I can't remember what the details were, but they were parents who'd come. And they didn't run off and leave. I could see, even though it affected them, these people trusted the Lord. The husband was very calm. The mother was crying, but they were staying pretty calm. And I thought, well, these people trust in the Lord. How would it be with you if you lost everything you had materially today? Would you trust God, or would you start getting mad at God? Job trusted the Lord. He also trusted the Lord in the pain of losing his family. Now, we might say, well, as I told them, I went up and talked to those people at camp, and I said, I heard about your loss and what happened to you. I'm really sorry about that, and we'll be praying for you. But as you know, those things can be replaced, and I'm so glad that nobody was hurt, because he said nobody was hurt. But what about the things that can't be replaced? What about children? And here Job receives in the same day, one right after another, these messages come. In the same day, he gets this message. Job, not only have you lost all your camels and your cattle, the sheep and the donkeys, all those things. He said, you've also lost your family, your children, your 10 sons and your 3 daughters. They're gone. They're dead. Job suffered the loss of all that. Now, can you imagine the pain? I can't. I can't even imagine what it would be like. I've never lost a child, so I don't understand that. Some of you do. But what about losing 10 of them all at once? And in that pain, he still trusted the Lord. He also trusted the Lord in the pain of losing his health. You notice the account. You remember the account. We'll look at how it happened in a minute. But in chapter 2, verse 7, it says this, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. He lost his health. Look at chapter 7, verse 5. Give another description of the way he felt. Chapter 7, verse 5. My flesh is clothed with worms. Evidently, he had these running sores, and these worms were attracted to that. And his flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. So his skin is broken open, these running sores, and the worms are there on him. He's fighting those off. Now look at chapter 30. chapter 30 gives another description of his pain, of what he's going through. He says in verse 17, "My bones are pierced in me in the night season." It's like he's aching from down deep inside. His bones hurt. "And my sinews take no rest." Look at verse 30 of chapter 30. "My skin is black upon me, and my bones are burned with heat." This man is experiencing the loss of health, and that continues, and he's experiencing all this pain and this discomfort, and these boils have broken out all over his body. And if you ever have a boil, it's very painful. And these are running boils that are just causing all kinds of discomfort. And it's just making him undesirable to everybody around him. I mean, he has suffered the loss of his possessions, his family, and his health. But yet, Job patiently trusts the Lord. I don't know if I could do it. In fact, I know I couldn't in and of myself. And neither could Job. Because the Lord says, without me, you can do nothing. And the way Job got through this was because of the Lord. And the Lord helped him. But he trusted the Lord. But then let's notice something else about Job. Job trusted the Lord in prosperity. Job trusted the Lord in pain. But Job also trusted the Lord in personal conflicts. Now, he had some personal conflicts. First of all, he had this conflict with the devil. Now, he didn't know about it, but it was going on. I mean, it was real in his life, but he didn't understand. He didn't know what was going on. But he trusted the Lord during the midst of that personal conflict. He didn't know it was a personal conflict with the devil, but it was, and he was trusting the Lord. Now, let's look at that conflict. Look at chapter 1, verse 6. "Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Now, I don't understand this completely, but I do know that there are a lot of good angels in heaven. And I also know there are fallen angels. And it seems like the Lord allows the devil to come before him to accuse the brethren. We find out later in the New Testament that the devil is called the accuser of the brethren. He accuses them day and night. And so the devil must still be allowed to accuse us before God. And there will come a time in the future, even though he's been thrown out of heaven when he sinned, he seems to be able to have access now to accuse, but there will come a time in the future, as the book of Revelation tells us, he'll be thrown out of heaven and not even be able to do that, and he'll come down with great anger and wrath because that's happened. But here he is accusing Job. Do you know the devil does that to you? He accuses you. He comes before the Lord and says, you notice how what he's doing. Or he says, yeah, he's doing well, Lord, but look how you're blessing him. Anybody would do well if you blessed him. Oh, why don't you take those things away from him and see how he does? And maybe that happens to you. It happened to Job. But Job is facing this personal conflict with the devil, and it's going on, it's real in heaven, and the devil accuses Job. And he brings these accusations against Job. And he says this, look at verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." I've explained this before, I believe. That actually means that he takes an overview, going to and fro on the earth, just looking around, see whose life he can get messed up in, or he can mess their life up. And then he walks up and down in it. You know, sometimes people say the devil made me do it, and the devil wasn't anywhere close. You can do a lot of bad without the devil. And the devil doesn't have time because he's not omnipresent like the Lord. He doesn't have time to get involved in everybody's life. Now, he does have a lot of helpers, that's true. But we have a sin nature that many times, the reason we do it is because of us, not because of him. But he does walk up and down the earth, or he goes to and fro in the earth, and then he walks up and down in it. Sometimes he'll look at you and say, yes, he's doing pretty well. He's serving the Lord. I think I'll walk up and down in his life. And he gets down and he walks up and down in your life. That's what he did to Job. So he said, I'm going to and fro, and I'm walking up and down the earth. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect upright man. He feareth God and escheweth evil. He turns away from evil. And Satan answered, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not put a hedge about him? Hey, by the way, God does that for us. God does put hedges around us sometimes. How do you think we keep from being hurt? God protects us. I'm praising the Lord for His hedges. And about His house and about all that He hath on every side, thou hast blessed the work of His hands, and the substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that He hath, and He will curse thee to thy face. Let me remind you, Job never did that. The devil wasn't right. He didn't predict things correctly. Job didn't curse God to His face. But the devil said he will. He'll just take those things away from him. The devil thought that these possessions meant more to Job than God did. I wonder if the Lord would allow Satan to touch everything we have. Would our possessions be mean more to us than God does? Would we curse God to His face? Well, that's what's taking place here, is this conflict that's going on between Job and the devil, even though Job doesn't know about it. But then there's another conflict, and that's the conflict with his wife. He trusted the Lord in the midst of personal conflict, conflict with Satan, and conflict with his wife. Look at chapter 2, verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? This is after the devil came back the second time, and the Lord allowed him to touch Job's body and to take his health from him. And he took his health, and he has those boils all over him. And his wife says, dost thou still retain thine integrity? She noticed the integrity of her husband. She said, why don't you just curse God and die? God's not doing anything for you. I mean, what good does it do to serve God if all these bad things happen to you? But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not we receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He wouldn't curse God. And he said, God has the right to give me good things. God has the right to take away those things. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord has the right to give me good times. The Lord has the right to give me bad times. But that's His right. And he didn't reject the Lord. He trusted the Lord even when his wife moved against him. Look at chapter 19. We'll get another glimpse of this. Chapter 19, verse 13. Because not only was his wife, it was also his family. It says in verse 13, he hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. Verse 14 as well. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, my young children despised me. I rose, and they spake against me. His whole family, his wife, his whole family have turned against him. But he trusts the Lord, even in the midst of personal conflict with his family. They don't understand. And they're giving him bad advice, and he can't listen to that advice because he's going to trust God, and it puts him at odds with his family, but at odds with his family, he's still going to trust the Lord. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight, today, that's at odds with your family because of Jesus. You know, your family doesn't understand because you want to live for the Lord. Your family doesn't understand because you want to tithe. Your family doesn't understand because you want to put church ahead of other things. Your family doesn't understand when you won't live like they live. And you have been alienated from your family because you want to do right and they don't. Let me remind you, a lot of people have been there. Job being one of them. But what did Job do in the midst of all that? He trusted the Lord. He patiently trusted the Lord. So he trusted the Lord during the midst of personal conflicts, conflicts with Satan, conflicts with his family and his wife, conflicts with his friends. Look at chapter 19 before we look at any details about the friends. Chapter 19, verse 19. We'll see what he says about these. Verse 19 of chapter 19 says, all my inward friends abhorred me. They whom I loved are turned against me. All my friends abhor me. Now, Job, are you exaggerating a little bit? No, not hardly, because if you read the accounts of the three friends, and we'll not look at all of them today, but we'll just look at a few things. He had these three friends. They came from a distance. Job was an important man, and he must have had these important friends in other places. And they came from a distance, and it seems like they contacted each other and decided, we're all going to go. We've heard about what happened to Job. We're all going to go and see how he's doing. Well, they came. They couldn't believe what they saw. I mean, they didn't hardly recognize him. And they sat there, as we said just the other day in a message, they sat there for 7 days and never said a word to Job. Now, they might have talked to each other, but they never said a word to Job. 7 days. 7 days and seven nights, it says. They came, met him, couldn't believe what they saw, never said hi, never said we're praying for, never said a word. The Bible says they never spoke a word for 7 days and seven nights. But then they started speaking after Job spoke. They started speaking. The three friends were Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite. That's the shortest man in your Bible, you know, Bildad the Shuhite. Anyway. And Zophar the Naamathite. These three friends. Now, there's something we find interesting, I think, about these friends. One of them is that Eliphaz said something that's revealing. Turn with me in your Bibles to chapter 4 of the book of Job, verse 12. He has all this so-called wisdom that he's sharing with Job. Let me remind you of something. The devil was against Job in heaven. The devil's also against Job on earth. And the devil's involved in these friends. The devil's influencing these friends. And I believe we see it right here in Job chapter 4, verse 12. Now, a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof, in thoughts from the visions of the night when deep sleep falleth on men. Be careful, people, to tell you all these things they've learned in visions. Fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying. In other words, Job, this advice I'm giving you came from a special message from a vision. Let me tell you something. The Lord said later in this book that his friends told him what was things that he couldn't depend upon. Job told the truth. The friends didn't. Now, mixed in that what they said was some truth. Well, the devil always does that. You know, he comes as a minister of righteousness, but really he's not. And they tell some good things. That's why I'm always just a little hesitant to quote these guys, even though they say some wonderful things. And some of the things they say are biblically correct. But these were not good men who were trying to help Job. They really turned out to be his foes rather than his friends. And it seems like that they received him. This one guy received a message from, I don't believe it was the Spirit of the Lord, but it was probably an evil spirit, made his hair stand up. And he gives this bad advice. And then there was Bildad the Shuhite. You find his accounts. Eliphaz, you find his speeches. He gave three of them. Chapters 4 and 5, chapter 15, and chapter 22. Bildad the Shuhite, he also gave three speeches. Chapter 8, chapter 18, and chapter 25. But in the midst of Bildad's speeches, he said something that surely wasn't very comforting. Turn your Bibles to chapter 25, verse 4. It almost sounds to me, even though this is sometimes used as, you know, telling about the corruptness of man, his sin, and it's true, but he gives no hope. Listen to this. How then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon it shineth not, yea, to the stars and are not pure in his sight. How much less that is a worm, and the Son of Man, which is a worm. How How can you be clean in God's sight? You're just a worm. But there's no explanation. Now, Job knew. Job knew because he had sacrificed animals, which God had said would be a covering for our sins. He did that for his children, for himself, because he was instructed to do that. That was passed on down from Adam and all the way down. And he knew that, and he did that. But this man says, you can't be clean. How can a man be clean? I mean, that's pretty discouraging to tell a guy he's a bad sinner, so bad all these things are coming upon him, and then tell him nothing you can do about it. You're a dirty man, no hope. Sounds to me like the devil, you know, you're bad, no hope for you. The Lord says you're bad, there is hope for you. And that is Jesus died for you. There's a sacrifice that's available. But anyway, he has these conflicts with the friends. Then he has Zophar, the Naamathite. You find him in chapter 11 and chapter 20 giving his speech. He didn't give a third speech. The other two gave three speeches. Zophar only gave two. But notice some of the cruel things that he said to Job. How would you like to have a friend like this? Turn your Bibles to chapter 11, verse 6, the latter part of the verse. Second part of the verse, he says, know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. I mean, how would you like to have a friend? Here you just lost all of your possessions. You lost your children. You lost everything you had. You lost your health. And then this guy comes and says, look, you deserve worse than that. You're so bad. Now, that's some friend, isn't it? Well, that's Zophar, the Naamathite. Look at chapter 20, verse 5. Another one of his statements of encouragement to Job. Chapter 20, verse 5. That the triumphing of the wicked is short. By the way, Job, you're wicked. You triumphed for a while, but your triumphing was short. God brought you down. And the joy of the hypocrite, but just for a moment. He just told Job, Job, you're a wicked man and you're a hypocrite. That's not a very good friend. But what I'm saying is this. Through the midst of all of that, Job still trusted the Lord. Now, Job understood these guys weren't right. Look at chapter 16. Verse 2, you want to hear what Job had to say about these guys. Well, look at chapter 16, verse 2. I have heard many such things like this. Miserable comforters are you all. He said, you're a bunch of miserable comforters. And then notice what he said in verse 20. He said, my friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. I am brokenhearted, and my friends, all they do is make fun of me. I mean, this is pretty bad. But let's look at chapter 19. Something else Job said about them. Then Job answered and said, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? 10 times have ye reproached me. Ye are not ashamed that ye make yourselves strange to me. Some friends. But my point is this. In the midst of those personal conflicts with friends, Job had a friend. And that was the Lord. He didn't understand it, but he trusted God anyway. He also trusted God in the midst of conflicts with the younger generation. You see, there's another guy who comes on the scene. We find him in chapter 32. His name is Elihu. Elihu was a younger man, and he had watched these three friends and listened to everything they had to say. Evidently, he came about the same time they did. And sort of stayed in the shadows. But he listened to everything they had to say. And he was a young theologian probably who was a little puffed up and thought he knew a lot. And so he's going to tell all these great things, all this great advice that he has for Job. He's really no better than the other guys. It seems like he might be. But I really believe when you boil it all down, he's about as bad as the others are. But Elihu was a younger guy. He said, I've listened to all these old men, and it just proves that not all the time do old men know what they're talking about. But I'm a young man, and I do, and I want to give you some advice. And so he faces this conflict with the younger generation, Elihu being a representative of that. But let's notice another thing it talks about the younger generation. Look at chapter 30, verse 1. But now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. Said, when I was prosperous and doing well, their dads, I wouldn't even put them over the dogs of my flock. And yet these kids come around and they make fun of me. He's facing this conflict with the younger generation. Look at chapter 19, verse 18. Yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. I mean, if you take all the people around Job, who is it? I mean, who is it that's standing up for Job? I don't find anybody. In the background, people he can't see, the devil and all of his fiends, they're against him. So he has that conflict. He's still trusting God. He has a conflict with his wife and family. He's still trusting God. He has a conflict with his friends. He's still trusting God. He has a conflict with the younger generation who used to look up to him. He has a conflict with them, but he's still trusting God. Job trusted God in the midst of personal conflict. But then another thing. Job trusted God in puzzling circumstances. What I mean by that is Job didn't understand this. He wasn't a man with the answers. He didn't know. What was going on behind the scenes about Satan, he knew nothing about that. We know about that because we read the Bible. Job knew nothing about that. And God never explained it to him. Even when God finally gave him a message, he didn't tell him what was happening. Job didn't know that. He was puzzled about this whole thing. There were all kinds of questions in his mind. He didn't understand. Have you ever said, God, I don't understand it because I don't understand. I don't trust you anymore. You don't have to understand. God's sovereign. He can do what he pleases. And he always does what's right. We're to trust him. Trust him in puzzling circumstances. He didn't know why he was suffering. He didn't know how it was going to turn out. He didn't know that he was going to end up with twice as many possessions as he had before. He didn't know that he was going to end up with 10 more children. He didn't know all that. None of that was known by him. And yet he trusted God. He didn't understand. It was puzzling to him, but he trusted God. His friends said he had sinned. And he replied, how? Show me how I've sinned. Look at chapter 6. They said, Job, you're a sinner. And he says in verse 24 of chapter 6, teach me and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. I mean, show me what I've done wrong. Look at chapter 13, verse 23. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgressions and my sins. You say I've sinned. Show me where I have sinned. I don't understand, he says. I don't understand. I'm puzzled. He tells God to examine his record. He says, Lord, search it and see what I've done. Look at chapter 10, verse 2. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Look at verse 7 of chapter 10. Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Lord, you know all of that. Verse 15. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore, see thou mine affliction. God, I'm confused. I don't understand. I'm puzzled. And he says, Lord, search the record. Look at chapter 16. Verse 17. He says, not for any injustice in my hands also my prayer is pure. O earth, cover not thou my blood. And let my cry have no place. Also now behold my witnesses in heaven and my record is on high. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. My record is in heaven, but I don't see what there is there that's making this happen. I don't understand. He does understand that he must be tried, being tried for some reason. Look at chapter 23. I'm just trying to show you what must be going on in his mind. Chapter 23, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I will come forth as gold. I don't know what's going on, but he says, it seems to me, and this is later in the book, he says, it seems to me like God is trying me for some reason. Still trusting. Questioning, yes. Wanting to know why, yes. Trying to understand, yes. He's puzzled, but he's still trusting. He's trying me for some reason. It seems like that Satan even used evil spirits on Job. Look at chapter 7. During all this time of confusion, the devil's partly of the blame for that, of confusing him. Look at chapter 7, verse 13. When I say, my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions. That doesn't mean that God did this. It seems to Job that he did. But God isn't usually in the business of scaring us to death. So that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than life. God is not in the business of terrifying us so that we want to die. I loathe it. I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. You see, he's having these dreams and these visions. Maybe those are coming from the devil too, afflicting this man and trying to get him to turn against his God. But he longed in all of this to talk to God. He longed to personally just talk to God. By the way, we take that for granted, that we can talk boldly to the Lord. And Job said he would like to do that. Look at chapter 23, verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I could find him. I know where I can find him. It's through Jesus. And I can approach boldly the throne of grace. But Job didn't know all this. See, he didn't have a Bible like we do. We'll see it in a minute. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. I wish I could talk to God, he said. He didn't have the verse that said, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He didn't have the verse that said, cast your care on me because I care for you. He didn't know all that. He said, I just wish I could talk to God. He couldn't talk to God, he felt, and so he knew that he needed a mediator, somebody that could go between. Look at chapter 9 as he expresses this. Talking about God, he says in verse 32, for he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that may lay his hand upon us both. Job didn't have Jesus. We do. He didn't have the Savior who died for him already and was interceding for him in heaven. We do. He knew he needed this. He said, if I just had somebody who could place his hand on me and his hand on God. Look, nobody can do that except the God-man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I wish I had that daysman betwixt us so that we could communicate. I wish we could have that fellowship. I wish we could do that, but I can't. I long for that, but I still trust him. I still trust him. Look at chapter 31, verse 35. Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me and that mine adversary had written a book. Now, let me remind you, I think that probably in this he's calling God his adversary because it seems like God's moving against him. And he said, I wish my adversary had written a book. Hey, what do we have here? Job didn't have this. You say, Pastor, the reason I don't trust God is because I've been going through all this. Well, wait a minute. Job didn't have what you did. You do. He didn't have the daysman. The Lord Jesus hadn't died yet. He didn't have that mediating Savior. He didn't have the book that told him all about. He didn't have the book that explained to him what was happening to himself. We have all of this. He said, I wish I had a book from him, but he didn't have it. But we have it. We have the book. We don't trust God many times, but Job did. He trusted God even though he was puzzled and didn't understand. He knew he needed a daysman. He didn't have it. Job didn't even have things exactly right about death. It seemed that he believed that when you died, you just sleep in the grave. We know, of course, that that's not true now. Look at chapter 14. Some people take these verses and say this is soul sleep. You know, when a person dies, they just go to the grave. It's just like a dog, and you just sleep in that grave there. Or they might say it's not like a dog, but you sleep in the grave until the resurrection, and then you'll come out, but you just stay in that grave. And so you go to the graveside, and you talk to the people who are there. No, your relative's not there. Your loved one's not there. If they knew the Lord, they're in heaven. But Job said this in chapter 14, verse 14. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. That's what he said there. But notice, I meant to look at verse 10, first of all. Verse 10. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. That's what he thought. You know, I die and just go to the grave. But then he has this glimmer of hope, and he says in verse 14, if a man dies, shall he live again? And all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. I think there is going to come a change. And then he gives this great expression later in the book. Look at chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job believed and finally came to this conclusion. There is a resurrection. Now, Job, you're still sick. Job, your family's still gone. Job, your possessions are wiped out. Job, you're poor. All your friends are against you. Job, nobody stands with you. And he says, but I have hope. Someday I'm going to rise again. He believed in the Lord, regardless of the circumstances. We could say it like this, as Job summed it up in chapter 13. In verse 15 and 16, he says, but in those verses he says this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If God kills me, I'll trust him. I'll trust him in puzzling circumstances, though I don't understand. I have a ray of hope here, and I believe this, but I don't know how it all goes together. I don't understand. And even if he kills me, I'll trust him. I'm going to trust God regardless. Job was a man of patient trust. But then Job also trusted God in penitence. When it came time, he had to repent. We're going to do this quickly. God answered Job's questions in an unusual way. It starts in chapter 38 and goes through chapter 41. You would think after all this suffering that Job went through, God would say, now, Job, I'm going to speak and I'm going to explain this to you. See, what's happened is, behind the scenes, Satan came and he accused you to me, and I allowed him to do... He never tells him that. In all those chapters, you know what God talks about? He doesn't talk about suffering. You would think God would talk about suffering, but he doesn't. What does God talk about in all those chapters? I'll tell you what he talks about. He talks about himself. God says, Job, where were you when I did this? Job, do you understand how these animals, how they come to the place where they have the little ones? Job, do you understand all these things? Do you understand about Behemoth? Do you understand about Leviathan? Job, do you understand all the... I am the Creator God. I made all these things. I take care of the universe. Job, I want you to understand I'm great. I take care of all these and I can take care of you. You see, when we go through troubles, we don't have to understand why. We don't even have to know behind the scenes Satan's doing this. We don't have to know that God is doing this to try us and make us better. We don't have to know how it's going to come out. We don't have to know anything. And God doesn't have to tell us. All God says is, you trust me. I remind you, I'm great. I can do what I want. You trust me. And Job trusted the Lord when it came the time of penitence. And that meant, after God told him all those things about himself, Job says, I repent. And I thought I knew about you, Lord, but now I don't. I realize you've shown me who you really are. And you're so great. And who am I to be
begging you to kill me. Who am I to act like I've acted? Lord, sure, he hadn't been a sinner in those before that time. He hadn't done all these things. His friend accused him. But he realized he didn't know what he thought he knew. And he was humbled by God and His greatness. And he said, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. Make me what You want me to be. Job responded to the Lord. He humbled and he repented. Let's look at chapter 40 just to see it very quickly. Verse 2. Shall he that contemneth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer, yea, twice. I will proceed no further. And then look at chapter 42. I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered what I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And he trusted the Lord during the time of repentance when he was brought humble before God. Do we trust God when He brings us down and humbles us? We need to. Trust Him always. And then finally, Job trusted God in the time of prevailing. I mean, finally it all ended. All the suffering. And he prevailed. God honored him and God told those friends. He said, Job told the truth. You didn't. God told those friends of Job, you bring a sacrifice and you make that sacrifice and you ask Job to pray for you. And God says, God changed the problems of Job when he prayed for his friends. And Job prayed for his friends. We need to pray for those who move against us. Job prayed for his friends. God honored Job. God humbled Job's family and his friends. God humbled them and brought them to where they should be. Job was prevailing. And then God blessed Job with twice as much as he had before. He gave him 10 children, 7 sons, and 3 daughters. You might say, well, that's not twice as much. Yes, they are, because he hadn't lost them. He was waiting for them in the resurrection. He knew he'd see them someday in the resurrection. And so, if they knew the Lord at least, they had gone on to be with the Lord. Not up at that time, but in Paradise and Sheol in that compartment. But now God gives him 10 more children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. He also gives him twice as much as he had before. He had 7,000 sheep before, now he has 14,000. He had 3,000 camels, now he has 6. He had 1,000 oxen, now he has 2,000. He had 500 donkeys, now he has 1,000 donkeys. I mean, God has blessed him. But guess what? Job didn't get through all of that and say, wow, this is great. And now I'm going to sort of relax. No, he kept trusting the Lord. And he lived for 140 more years. And there's no evidence in the Bible that Job ever turned back and quit trusting God. You see, we need to learn to trust God when He's good, things are good in our life. We need to learn to trust God when things are bad in our life. We need to learn to trust God when we don't have the answers. As someone has said, you trust God when you cannot track God. And God doesn't owe you the right to be able to track Him. You don't have to say, God, I'll trust You if I understand. You don't have to understand. He is sovereign. But we know this when we say that. He is sovereign and He does what's right. And He gives us promises. And He says all things work together for good to those that love God. Job, a man of trusting, of patient trust. Are we people of patient trust? May God help us to be. Let's pray. Father, thank You today. I know, Lord, that the It takes a long time to preach about Job. There's so much there, and we've only scratched the surface. But we thank You, Lord, that we can believe You even when we don't understand. We can trust You when we can't track You. And Lord, we can hope in You
when we don't understand how everything's going to turn out, because you promised that it will. Help us to be faithful, Lord. Someone here today needs this message. I really feel all of us do. Maybe somebody is in a real trial now, and they really need this. I pray you'd apply it to their hearts. If there's someone without Jesus, help them to realize that they need Him as their Savior today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.